schaffen wir schon. Auch wir haben es auch noch kostbar. Chip. Oh, Scott of Era. What a cheeky goal.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chad Aguner, and tonight I am in the virtual, suitably adequate studio with Shelly and Shabby, here to talk about a couple of CFC matches. We've got it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. We've got a good match to talk about, a bad result to talk about, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the differences between a performance and a result, see kind of where we are. So y'all, how are you doing in the various and sundry places around Chattanooga that you are recording from?
Just delightful. We've got little puppy helpers with me tonight.
Holding down the fort here in Hickson.
All right.
All well.
So it's been, I guess we had two matches since the last time we recorded. First, we can talk about the Maryland match. We came out with just a minor change, I believe, in formation, and a minor change in personnel. I think Alec was the only change. He came in as a winger. Maryland had just come off of a really big win against Cal United and came into town looking to see if they could get back in, you know, get some points on us get back in the East race. And, you know, at least, you know, this match, where we'll talk about Cal United in a second, but this match, we really came out and played really well. What were y'all's thoughts on that first half?
Absolutely. I mean, came out swinging, came out definitively. I mean, right there early on, what was it? Like Nagelstad just right into the back of the net. Like just, mm-hmm. And it was early. It was like in the first 6 minutes or something. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a very early goal, which is always nice.
And then I think that momentum just kind of built. Like they stayed on top of things. They stayed aggressive. It was clear they wanted that win. And I think they just looked stronger all along. They controlled the match.
Yeah, I definitely do think if you go to our friend Jed, Jed Henderson, who does the Scenic City football blog, you can kind of look at his by the numbers. If you haven't checked out that website, you need to go check out his work. So you could see clearly that, yeah, it was real early in the match when we had that first goal. And you look at the first half and it was just really a dominating performance by CFC. We had scored three goals by the half. We had put in, I don't know, six or seven shots, most of them on goal. I know Maryland didn't really even have a shot until later on in the half, and throughout the entire game, they never had one on target. So KG wasn't tested. It was just really the first half was, we put it to bed, and then the second half was just kind of coasting. When you look at his final stats, it looks like the match was close, but in no way really was this one wasn't really close. They had one really, really good chance that they, I think a header that they put over the bar. Outside of that, it was really a great performance. To Maryland's credit, to kind of talk a little bit, this was the third match they had in 8 days, and they traveled a long way, and they did look a little leggy in that second half. But all in all, a good match. I don't know if there's anything else y'all really took away from that game.
It was exciting. You could tell that they were focused on it. Like it the feel of that match was one of like, we want the win. And then maybe it's just me, but I'll open this to you all. There at the end, I always get that really happy, warm, fuzzy feeling when they substitute in Juan.
I am right there with you. It was good to see him take the field for just a little bit. I've missed seeing him this season.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's like I said, it's the warm and fuzzies, right? Like it's hard not to love Juan Hernandez.
That's right. It's good to see him getting some appearances. The other thing I wanted to get y'all's reaction to is that Greg Stratton goal.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I got a chuckle out of it, to be honest. So he dribbled up, he's playing left back. So he was coming up the left side. He beats one guy, and it was like he really didn't expect to do that. And then I think his touch got away from him.
Yeah. And it looked like he was going to lose it for a second, but then he caught it and then the
Maryland guy megged himself.
And, yes.
And then Greg is on the other side, and he looks up, and it's just him and the keeper. I mean, I'm not sure if I or Greg were more surprised that he was one-on-one with the keeper. And then of all things, he takes the shot with his right foot and beats the keeper. I mean, that I tweeted out like, Greg, what did you just do? Because I mean, it was I think that's going to, at the end of the season, that's going to be one of my favorite goals of the year, just because it was just like what just happened.
It was that perfect confluence of events, right? That just created a little magic moment.
Yeah, and I would love to talk to him too, to see what were you thinking before, during, and after, because we all up in the stands were.
Well, isn't it recently on Twitter they had the interview where he talks through it and they show the play by play.
Oh, did like, they? I haven't seen that.
I think I saw the post, but I haven't got to today. Watch it yet.
Oh, okay, I need to see that because it's just pure soccer joy. I mean, it's just joy.
It is. Great way to describe it.
That is just you know, was that the second goal? I think that was the second goal. Was it the second goal? Mm-hmm. So, that's the one I think, okay, we're up 2-0. Maryland hasn't really done anything. At that point, you're like, I think I just laughed for like the next 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know. It was just nice. And the final goal, who scored the third goal?
Wasn't it?
Oh, it was Taylor, wasn't it?
Taylor. Because he came over and celebrated right in front of 109. Yeah,
and he put it through the keeper's legs. Again, a nice kind of individual bit of play there. So it was just a good night. It was a good night. It was, a Maryland team.
A late night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That rain delay was a lightning delay. Although we had fun in the concourse.
You did. We did have fun in the concourse. And it was good to see all the Academy kids out there. I hope more Academy families, that's one thing that when we were just in the NPSL in the summer league, the Academy families were a large percentage of the supporters and fans in the stands. And, hopefully we'll continue to see more Academy kids coming to matches. 'Cause that was really cool. It's always good to see them out, lined up on the field. And
when having the halftime chat at Anuga with them too was so cute.
Yeah.
Adorable. Yeah. I had to capture it on video because it just made my heart so happy. Everything about it. Like that is what this club is about. We're building for the future. We're caring for our past. We're like, it's all about that soccer love, that soccer joy you were just talking about.
Yep. We're going to be on official Manganata watch, I think.
Yeah, we are.
There were no Manganatas. Tacos were there. The tacos were good.
I'm glad to see the taco truck.
Me too, because it hit the spot last night, let me tell you.
But we're not talking about last night yet. We're still talking about the Maryland game, because that was there for the Maryland game. I was not there last night for other reasons.
For shame.
But I know. I was a terrible, terrible, terrible person. But no Manganatas. And then, I just I don't know what I've done to Jeremy to...
maybe you should tweet at Jalisco and be like, please bring them back.
I thought we had made some progress.
Have you recently said something to Jeremy that maybe
I don't know
told
maybe
him?
Maybe I don't know
did
maybe
you look
I
at him the wrong way
you jinxed it by telling him you appreciated them bringing it back.
He can giveth and he can taketh.
He sure can.
That's right.
So good. Okay, so 3-0 comprehensive win. Second half was pretty calm.
And it was just a great crowd.
Yeah,
it was.
A rainy day, man.
3,400.
Yeah, I think kudos to everyone who stayed out with the rain. Yeah. You know, generally, rain will get us sometimes. If there's a lightning delay before or midway through, half the time it's like mass exodus. Everyone leaves. Kudos for everyone staying and showing out.
Yeah. I don't think we had 3,400 in the second half, but we had 3,400 at the beginning.
Hey.
It got a little late there. So
it was still a good crowd, no matter how
it was. It was a good crowd. Yeah. It was a fun night. So then let's talk about the other match we had this week and the battle between the top team in the West and the top team in the East. Cal United comes in off of kind of the third game of a East Coast trip where they played Maryland and lost 1-0. They played the Michigan Stars and won 2-0, I believe. And then this was their third match in eight games. Excuse me, third match in 8 days. They had rotated a lot. This is where Cal United's depth probably plays a role, that they're able to rotate a little more than maybe some of the other teams. But you had to think, you know, that, you know, we had played a game, but our second half was not that taxing. So we may have been able to save our legs a little bit. It was a huge game. You know, I've heard people say that this was one of the biggest games in club history, one of the biggest regular season games we've had, especially since we've gone pro. Come in, you know, decent crowd as a Wednesday. Again, pretty much the same team. I think there was only one, I believe there was a change at left back where the striker, Greg Stratton, left. The left back striker left and Travis Ward came in at left back. I believe that's the only change. I saw it. I was watching at home from home, and so I wasn't in the stands. What were those first 15 or 20 minutes like watching in the stands?
You know, I had said right before the match started, when I was talking with a few people, that I really thought we would come out aggressive like we have the past few matches, maybe score a goal early on, and then just hold on by the skin of our teeth, ride that wave and just hold on. Because I knew on paper, these teams are closely matched. And with Cal being tired, on paper, we could have a win. Like, we should have a win, I felt like. But that's not what I saw. It almost felt like, and I hate to say this, but it almost felt like that early match against Flower City where they didn't have any drive. It didn't look like they wanted it. It looked like they were playing for the draw. They weren't playing for the win. No. It looked like they were playing for the draw. And there were a lot of questions about how they were playing, what was assembled. Like, at the end of the day, I feel like we weren't outplayed last night. I feel like we were outcoached.
Yes.
So the first 15 or about the first 15 minutes, I feel like it was really, I don't know if cagey is the right. I think I don't know if we were playing for the draw, but it was more like feeling each other out. You know, I don't think either team really did a whole lot in those first 15 minutes. I think it was a whole lot of, you know, dropping back a little bit, maybe, seeing what the other team is going to do. I don't know that there was I don't remember a shot from either side in like the first 10 or 15 minutes. Well,
no, I think that we, for the first half, at least we had, I mean, more of the,
no, we grew into
possession.
It.
But we were fending them off a lot early on.
Yes.
They were feeling their ways, looking for, it just didn't feel like we were responding with the same kind of attack. You know, there wasn't, I keep saying aggression. Aggression's not the right word, but like, we weren't pressing. Maybe that's what I should say. We weren't pressing for chances. We were just kind of hanging back and playing very, very defensively and just letting them. It was a very much wait and see. What are they doing? And it was all reactive. There was no press for our own advantage.
But I do think I grew into it. That half. I think by the middle and latter part of that half, I would say we were we were the better team on the field. The field started to tilt a little bit. I believe we had a couple of decent chances. There was one where I know it sailed just wide. I really thought it was just, I thought we were going to score. I don't know if it was Naglestad or I can't remember who it was. But we had some decent play. I thought we looked like we were growing into the game. And then, you know, we got a half kind of nil-nil. I did feel, you know, I think I said something like that. I felt like CFC had, that we had the better of the chances, that we were the better team, but I didn't know if we played well enough that I would be comfortable saying we should have been ahead. Like it was really cagey up at that point. It felt to me like it was going to be a draw at the end of this match.
Same here.
That both teams were really, really even. And then, you know, again, one thing that I've been worried about with Cal was their ability to bring people off the bench. And we have not, for whatever reason, we do not play with a very deep squad. We have probably a first 13 or 14 players, and that's really all we've got. Yeah. And they brought in two subs. They brought in two subs at the half.
I was kind of surprised, to be honest, that we didn't
have some substitutions.
Yeah, well, we
don't really. But the thing is, after the first half, and I agree with Shabby, the comment you made previously, I think that we were playing for a draw, honestly, because they knew what they were up against. But
I don't think so. I don't think we were playing for a draw.
Well, I feel like they were playing like that.
But they went into that full back defensive, like five in the back setup. Like it was just not. It was so timid. It was afraid. It's like they were playing afraid, and they had no reason to fear.
And that's the thing.
I don't think we played. I think it was both teams. I think you saw both teams being fairly evenly matched, and neither team could really get a foothold until later in the half where I think we started to tilt the field and create some chances. That unfortunately, you know, like halftime, I would be willing to bet the players.
10 minutes of the game, where all of a sudden they were like, "Well, I guess we better actually shoot toward the goal."
I'd be willing to bet that the players and the coaches did not want that halftime whistle to come at 45 minutes.
Oh, like, yeah.
Well, sure. Okay. Can we talk about the refereeing?
Referees. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The referee on the power trip.
Horrible adjudication happening during that match. I mean,
Shabby, talk about this.
Only 1 minute of added time in the first half, and only four in the second.
And four in the second.
I mean, just from the injuries, there were at least six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So talk about this. I've heard a couple people mention the refereeing. I know that there's.
Oh, it was terrible.
And I was going to say again, I wasn't in the stadium, so you get a very different feel for, and also I don't listen to the game when it's on 11. I just can't do it. So,
that's fair. So the thing is, how many times did KG have to re-kick? How many whistles did we hit? And then he started pointing his finger. Like, what kind of authority?
I guess I need to rewatch
here?
This. I thought it was bananas.
Okay. It was not good. There was one time where they clearly played long after the ball was out of bounds.
Yes.
There was another time where there was an obvious handball and they didn't count it. There were a few fouls in the box that were just ignored.
There was one late on, are you talking about when Taylor got bodied down? Later on. I don't remember. Again, what I was going to say was I've heard people talk about it. I've seen it online. I would not have said, and listen, hey, if you follow me long enough, you know I am not afraid to whine about the referees. I did not think that this game was a game, and maybe this is not what you're saying. I don't think this game was decided at all by the refereeing.
No, I think it would have given us some opportunities that we ended up.
I just
getting.
Didn't see outside of. Maybe I need to go back and watch a couple of the incidents that occurred in the box.
Yeah,
because I did because the second one happened fairly late in the game. And it did look almost like a foul on Taylor, but I have to go back and watch it again. I did not get the sense. I did not leave that match. I did not, when I closed down my computer, I was not frustrated at the refereeing. But again, I'm not in the stands. I don't hear, I don't see it the same way.
Yeah, no, I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the match if we had better referee. I mean, we've had really not the greatest in our history reffing, but
I've seen much worse.
It just was a little bit bonkers. Again, the amount of times that KG got the whistle blown at him and had to run back and kick and then run back and kick. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what, I mean,
there was some really, really crazy things.
I don't remember that.
I think that there were chances that we were denied because of poor refereeing. But I also think that at the end of the day, when you look at it all, our team played well. It's not that they disappointed me. Mm-mm. They played really well. And on paper, they were fantastic. But in person, this did not look like the same team we watched Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And that loss was all the more poignant as a result.
That has everything to do with the fact that we were not playing Maryland. We were playing Cal United. And the one thing that I meant to mention, like, I think it was about in the 10, maybe the 10 minute mark or the 15 minute mark. I said to myself, you guys have said that there was a timidity about it, that you felt like they were playing for the draw. I actually felt that this was a faster paced game than what we have seen. In terms of the speed of play, like Cal United is a different speed of play than Maryland and it was clear to me that our opposition had ramped up.
I agree.
And so,
but we did not correspond accordingly. If anything, we felt sluggish. Like if I didn't know either team and I hadn't watched them before and someone had said, "Hey, watch this match," I would have thought that Chattanooga was the one that was on the road and on their third game in 8 days. Like it just, played like they were tired.
I will say, I don't know if we played like we were tired. I will say this, Cal did not play like they were tired.
Correct.
You're correct. They and actually so looked like I, it was pretty
I, am,
even
I was
match.
Very impressed with their ability to, and I really do think because they turned it up a notch, that the first half of the second half, the first part of the second half, the field started to tilt the other way and they started to play faster. They started to play a little bit better. And I was really impressed. I kind of feel like one of the reasons maybe why we had a little bit better of it in the first half was they were trying to get to halftime nil nil. And then they would take their chance in the second half to kind of press. And they did. They were better than us for the first, well, up until basically the goal. I felt like we were losing a little bit of the control of the match, not to the extent where I thought that we were going to be, that they were going to drill us or, you know, they were going to score multiple goals, but I did sort of feel that a goal was coming. And when that, you know, when that cross went in and Freddie cleared it over, which could have easily been an own goal, but cleared it over the bar. I was like, you know, we're in a little bit of trouble here. I mean, we need to calm this down. And sure enough, not a minute later, off of a throw in, they throw the ball in. There's a slight run. There's a cross and one of their forwards, I don't exactly remember who it was, made a really nice run and flicked that header into the net. And I was just like, oh, I mean,
but you know what? It felt lucky. I mean, it didn't. Okay. I shouldn't say lucky. It wasn't that it was just like a completely lucky goal, but what I'm saying is it just felt like they finally connected on one of their opportunities and we just didn't.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think that's part of it. I don't know, so it was off of a throw in and sometimes in those moments, you can lose your shape a little bit. You can lose a little bit of focus and what I don't understand and maybe somebody else who's listening to this, who watched it, will go back and watch it and figure this out. when I watched it over again, I was like, well, I knew that the defender was Tate Robertson. But when I was going back to remember the goal came from our left side. It came from their right side. And Tate was playing right back last night. And so I went back to see, did Tate and Ward switch at any time? Sometimes, you know, sometimes backs will switch and they'll, but they didn't. I do not know why. I do not know what happened, because there's a glitch in the footage here where they were showing on the broadcast, they were showing the replay of the clearance that went over the bar while the pattern of play that resulted in the throw in happened. So I do not know what happened with us to where our team got a little bit out of sorts, because that's not where Tate should have been. Tate should have been on the other side. That the person at that with that run should have been Ward. I'm not saying, for anybody out there, I'm not saying that Ward makes that play and it's Tate's fault. I'm just saying I don't understand what happened right before to get us out of shape. And their player makes a really good run. Tate is a half step late. If he's a step faster, he cuts across and either knocks the guy off of his rhythm or clears the ball himself. And so it's just one of those things where we did not put enough pressure on the cross. Tate is a half step behind, and it's a really good flick. It's a good flicked header on their part. It was frustrating because I felt like for the first half, we really played better, and so it was frustrating to give up that goal that way.
I just didn't understand the second half after that, when we were a goal down, why we weren't pressing harder, why we still kept five in the back, why we spent all our time passing it around 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in circles around the back, not moving forward.
That's how we play. I mean, that's how we play.
At some point, though, and we have been, at some point you push forward and you press and you create chances, mm-hmm. and no one was doing. And I think part of it was they had like three guys on Naglestad, like at all times. He was never ever open.
Yeah, they did a really good job of marking
him. Pinned him down.
You could tell that they had a plan in place for that one.
Yeah,
not that.
But I don't. You know, we did not play. We did not have five at the back, Shabby. I mean, we weren't playing. We weren't playing that negatively.
It sure felt like that. It felt like everybody was hanging out in the back. Like at some point,
well,
at some
a little
point,
bit
Kevin Gonzalez was further forward than three of the other players.
It was certainly we were playing possession. Cal gave us the possession after they scored. I mean, after they scored, they were not as concerned about possessing the ball. They were defending. I think it was maybe right before, their goal was where we had a shot off the crossbar. Which clearly beat the keeper. And who knows, goals change games. If in this game where I think you've got two teams that are fairly equally matched and they're kind of pushing on each other, whoever gets that first goal then has the ability to lay back a little bit and defend. If we had scored that first goal, then we do that. And maybe Cal doesn't score. Cal got the first goal. They were allowed to do that. And we did not have that last bit of creativity when we got into the box. We had some decent shots. We had some free kicks that I thought we could have done better with. I don't know the stats of this. I'm willing to bet that we came out probably slightly better in the XG, maybe Cal had the slight edge in possession, but not big. This is a match that if you look at the totality of the 90 minutes and all the chances, that anything between us winning 1-0, them winning 1-0, or a 1-1 tie or a 0-0 draw, any of those things would have been in the realm of possibility. And
absolutely.
It's just
they played really well. And I think going forward, Cal United is going to be afraid. They know we're not a team.
Well, I will say, they were very happy with, I mean, like, they knew they were in a battle. They knew that they got 3 points that were going to be really, really important. We talked to the Bill maybe a little bit at the beginning about the difference between a performance and an outcome. You know, I think the team and the coaching staff are going to be disappointed with the outcome. I don't know that when they go back that they're going to say that they're overly disappointed with the performance. Like, I think they would probably say, if we give that performance, if we do that same thing again against Cal, we're very likely to win that match.
For sure. And I'm not disappointed in the level of play that we gave. I mean, it's just, honestly would have liked a win, or I mean, a draw would have been nice too at that point, but honestly, it could have been far worse. I mean, we could have lost by way more than just one. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we played well. I'm not disappointed with how we played. I wish we would have had some substitutions, you know, just to see if maybe that would have made sense. Yeah, we didn't really sub. And I figured honestly, coming into the second half, we might see one or two. So it was a little bit, I mean, I know that we don't sub
often. And they
were
late subs.
Didn't sub until the 76th
minute. Jones came in for Jaimes, and then not until like 88 did we make that last substitution.
Yeah, like I said, we've got like, I think coach has like 13 or 14 players who are going to really play if the game's in balance. And we didn't use all the subs that we have.
No, not at all.
I wonder about that choice, because I feel like some fresh legs and a fresh perspective might have shaken things up a bit.
Well, and it's been a building concern of mine, and we can leave this game. Before I say this, anything else you want to cover about this match?
No, just again, props to KG for that double save.
Oh yeah, that was huge.
Oh my gosh,
that was huge and awesome to watch too, because it was on our end of the field too. So we got a really good up close and personal view of it, and it was intense. And he should be immensely proud.
Of what he
did there.
Absolutely, yeah, he had a good game. There's nothing he could do with
sure
the header,
did.
But,
sure did.
Yeah,
I'm proud of my club. It was a good
game.
So I was saying the one thing that's kind of, I've had a growing concern about the minutes that our starters are accruing. You know, we've got tough matches coming up. We've got, I think, 11 left, 10 or 11 left in the season. And of those 10 or 11, I think 5 or 6 of them are against teams that are playoff teams, maybe 7 or 8 are against playoff teams. They're either from the East or the West. So we've had the easier part, the easier half of our season already. We're getting into the harder part, and I'm worried about the minutes that our starters are starting accruing. It hasn't looked like it's affected them yet. But I would like to see us rotate a little bit whenever we play Syracuse. When we play Syracuse this weekend, do we play Flower City one more time? I think we do. If we play them again, I think I would really like to see us rotate. I would like to see us rest some of these guys so that late in the season, if we're playing against some of the better teams, we've got some fresher legs. That is one concern. We don't have a deep squad already. We're not utilizing the depth that we do have.
I would like to see Spielman play some more minutes. You know, he did really well at the beginning of the season. Obviously, we haven't had him as a starter in a while. And I would really like to see some more play out of him, because he's a great player.
I'm also curious as to why Stratton wasn't playing after especially
I don't know.
Such a good match Saturday.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it could have been I don't know. I mean, you know, there's left back is a for whatever reason. I keep saying it's our Spinal Tap drummer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the one enigma. I mean, I just cannot figure out. We've got a good left back battle between Travis Ward and Stratton. They don't play it the same way. They're not the same. I mean, so it may have just been, that may have been tactical more than anything. They wanted Travis in. I don't really know. I thought Stratton had a decent game. I thought he has improved. over the course of the year. At the beginning of the year, I had questions about him the first couple of games he played, but the last couple of he's played, he's looked really good. So I don't know what it was. Yeah, coach would have to answer that question, but I'd like to see a little bit of rotation.
Because if you think about it, it's basically been, I mean, the formation's working.
Yeah.
It's not that the players on the field aren't working, but they have been playing so much and in really like hot conditions too, which is hard on your muscle fatigue and your muscle recovery, especially since they're practicing in it too. So I think that, I mean, I get like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So going into the match last night and how we knew that we were very well evenly paired with Cal United, but it does make me wonder if we had like rested some of our players and, you know, had starting some of our others that are equally as good in those positions. I mean, maybe it would have made a difference. Maybe it wouldn't have, but you could have always subbed out for the others.
Yeah.
You know, after the half.
The concerning thing for me is when we don't, if Nagelstad doesn't score, you know, we don't have that person that's typically we don't have that sub that can come in and give us some really, really good chances. I mean, we just, and you know, maybe that's too much to ask for at a Division III. I mean, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were concerned about where we were going to get goals at all. And Nagelstad has come out and scored 13 goals. I don't know, something like that. And had like 5 or 6 assists. So he, you know, but
Gray was on it though last night. I mean,
no, he played well. He was lively. And you know, but I, you know, we do have other things, but I don't know that we have it. We haven't seen it off the bench. We haven't seen that person come off the bench and change the game. And
for all we know, they're sitting there.
Exactly.
And we just haven't seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe so. I don't know the injury. You know, we don't know the injury status. We don't know that kind of stuff. You know, there may be reasons why we didn't see some other players, but I am growing concerned as we get deeper and deeper into the season that the amount of minutes are going to add up on those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we cannot just rely on Marcus to score 2 goals a game. I mean,
mm-hmm. And the thing is, the more tired you are, the more susceptible to the injuries you are. And that's not good. Yeah. You don't want our heavy starters, our heavy hitters to get injured because of that either.
So we go on the road. We go on the road, y'all. We go up to Syracuse to play Syracuse again on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll have to, hopefully they can bounce back. Get 3 points and kind of get a little bit like a half step closer to kind of clinching the East. You know, we said at the beginning of the year, or at least I did, I don't remember what y'all said. My goal would be a good season. My kind of good, bad season level was hosting a playoff game. And I think we're going to easily accomplish that. So,
I think so too.
But hopefully, and we got 3 matches left with the Stars.
I know. It's so these multiple matchups make it like
So yeah, it should be interesting.
Friendlies too. So mm-hmm. And we got some friendlies too. We got 2 friendlies coming up. So
what friendlies?
I'm looking forward to the Metro Louisville match.
Metro Louisville, we have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we also have. The one that
has the second one been announced?
I don't think we have anything announced yet.
Oh, what was announced on the owner's call?
We do have a second one. Yeah, we do have a second.
Not by the club, but during the owner's call.
Yeah, so that has been announced. But we do have more CFC soccer.
That is true. And I'm hoping Sunday goes well. Because remember, the last time that Syracuse came, they looked like a completely different team. Kudos to them. So they're going to be on home turf. So I'll be curious to see what they come out with on Sunday.
I hope the guys go out and smash them.
Yep. I mean, I feel
confident.
They come
out feeling like they got something to prove.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I feel confident that we'll, you know, do well and bring it home, but I am curious to see what Syracuse brings on Sunday.
We're going to do some. You know what? Let me say, I did ask for some questions.
Oh, we got a mailbag. It's like blue.
We did get a couple and some of them are fun. So Let's where I got to find him again. Now, what Zach Taylor, who is at ZTaylor59 on the Twitter, did ask us to pick our NISA 11 up to this point in the season. I'm not going to make you do that. If you need to see my NISA 11, it'll probably the CFC will CFC posts my NISA 11 an hour before each kickoff. So,
do they really?
Well, yeah, it's our starting lineup. Do I have to explain the joke, Shelley?
Oh, no.
Do I have to explain the joke?
I got it. I was about to say pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Like, I don't play fantasy leagues because my team is my team.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the second question. It's not really a question. Additional food trucks that you'd like to see on the East Terrace?
Well, spill
can you
the
please
beans.
Bring back the donuts?
Oh,
the
yeah,
donuts,
those donuts.
The
were
bucket
good.
Of donuts.
The bucket of donuts.
The bucket
spill
of donuts.
Spill the beans. They weren't here the past couple of matches. I don't
spill
think.
The beans. So coffee. It's coffee,
yeah, coffee
and donuts.
I'm always
coffee,
a fan of
coffee and donuts.
Coffee and donuts. You okay. know what I would love to see? It's the Thai fusion one that we have that comes to the market every week. Any other day I could tell you exactly what it was called. Cart de Soul. Or Cart Soul.
Okay.
Cart Soul. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's been, I don't go to the market. Luna, what are you doing? Sorry about that. I don't go to the market as much as I used to. I know that there's some barbecue trucks. We need some barbecue. That'd be
good. Yes. Barbecue would be good.
I want them to get some barbecue out there. Yeah. That would make me super happy. And also, Nani's Empanada.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good. Yes.
Fried pies are always good, no matter where they come from.
I'm just saying, and hers are so good.
Yes.
For a while, she had it set up out here on Hickson on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that's where I would go for lunch.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Well,
please,
like,
if you are listening, Nani's Empanadas, I need you
well,
at
it's like,
Finley.
And the egg roll lady, she sets up on Brainerd Road every day in front
where's
of like
the, across, where on Brainerd Road is
my
the egg
word.
Roll
lady? So across the street from the Starbucks and that
oh, okay.
It's a little shop. Yeah, she always sets up there. And I'm telling you, people there all the time, coworkers rave about it.
Oh,
and I've tried one once. Yeah, so the egg roll lady. Honestly, it would be a fun match by the end of the season if we had food truck night.
Yes, food truck night.
Food truck night at the CFC match. And so we just lined out there under the scoreboard.
We've developed a friendship with somebody at the stadium. Maybe he's listening to this and
Mr. Wright.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Right? Wright.
Oh, which FYI, we did even better with our composting numbers last Saturday's match too. I've gotten the recent numbers on those. Yeah.
Great. Woo-hoo. Awesome.
Yeah, so we're doing well.
All right, so next question from Zach. $4 beer, a right or a privilege?
It's a privilege because our right is $3 beer.
Exactly. Yes.
We're being nice
for the
$4. Them the privilege of the extra dollar from us.
Yes. But $3 beer would be the yeah.
Good answer. Okay, over under 5,000 people in Finley for a home playoff game in the fall.
Over.
Over. Over. Over 5 for both.
We can do it.
I mean, the thing is, if on Wednesday night we had that Wednesday night rainy day, and then we had that many stick around last Saturday when we had the lightning delays, and it's just getting like the crowds are getting better and better. I mean, and we're winning, so that helps as well.
Does.
So if we are hosting a playoff, I mean, that's a big deal. So
I would
be confident in feeling it'd be over 5.
Right. So the only other question I got was from Matt. It's at Matt Morris 220 on the Twitter. What happened to Division Zero? The Armada's owner was supposed to be setting up. So if the lower league, this is kind of a deep cut from lower league soccer Twitter. I don't have any idea. My guess is that this was put on the same trash heap that MPSL Pro went on.
Yeah, probably. Well, if Fruit Street was his backer, that's probably I can answer that.
Oh my goodness!
All the money went to pizza. So.
All the money went to pizza. That's exactly what I was going to say.
No, I don't think Fruit Street has anything to do with that. So those are all the questions that we have.
Oh my word!
Okay, so now I put it out there to you all. Ask us some better questions.
Yeah.
And I'll say I don't know if y'all get to y'all need to just check Twitter too, because our tour, our ID4 car now tweets from the ZFC account, and it's cracking me up.
It's adorable. The yes. little one that brings out the ball.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey guys, it's me, Tor. I'm the at VW ID4 tiny car. I was this close to sneaking into the starting lineup.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I love it.
I mean, I like the car. Thank you for the Instagram link, Shabby, for the Nani's empanadas. No, it says, wait a minute, you it says this page isn't available. You gave me a bad link. Oh no, there it is. Now it shows up. I don't know what's going on with my
I don't know what to tell you, sir.
I got it. Food truck offering handmade empanadas and sandwiches to Soddy Daisy in Chattanooga.
I love me an empanada.
And yeah. They're so good.
You know,
so good, I'm telling you.
You know what would also be good? We've got the shaved ice. We need to have alcoholic shaved ice. All I gotta say. If Kona Ice could somehow make it boozy Kona Ice.
Oh no, the new Froze place. They can come set up for us.
Oh no, the co-op. No, co-op does have a food truck. So yes, co-op, if you're listening, your Froze is delicious. Please come to us.
So we have all the options here. We need a food truck night.
That would be amazing.
It
could be the same night we bring our dogs.
Yes. Because we could just sit on the hill with our dogs, gorging on food truck food while watching the match. That'd be the trifecta of CFC matches.
Sounds good to me.
I gotta say.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, Jeremy, if you're listening.
I don't think he listens anymore.
Brian Wright, if you're listening.
I don't know.
Anybody who's listening, hit us up. Alex, tell me what you think.
Alex Patzel.
Well, I think
our two listeners retweeted.
Sam has been known to listen because he reacted to my idea about the bald Sam bobblehead doll.
I cannot wait for this bobblehead night. And look at that bubbles. FYI, I'm glad the bubbles
from 109 have taken off
because we've got all bubbles all the time last night.
More bubbles.
The bubbles were adorable.
We need more bubbles.
They really confused me when they said if you were here for the free popsicles, because I was like, what, free popsicles? Yeah,
did I
miss
that
free
too.
Popsicles?
I know. Like, I want a popsicle.
But it was not popsicles. They meant bubbles. Just a weird typo.
That's not even
close.
How do you do that? Don't promise us popsicles.
So Jeremy. Now we need a free popsicle night.
Yeah,
that's right. Now Jeremy owes us Manganata popsicles.
Maybe we need to talk to Frios. Hey, Frios, can you come do a sponsored free popsicle night? We're just going to throw it all out here in the universe.
Yes, and we've gone off the rails a little bit. So let's give these.
That's when our listeners love us, Jim.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Our listener, that's when our listener loves us.
Well, our
one listener
one listener needs to listen to this and send some ideas into CFC offices.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So let's give our listener the rest of their night back. Shabby, if folks want to yell at you on Twitter, where can they find you?
Please come yell at me at Shabby Bell, SHABYBELLE.
All right, Shelly, where can folks share their empanada recipes with you on Twitter?
Yeah, if they do, I'll be making them for everyone. You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
And you can find or block me or mute me at Chattagooter on Twitter. We're looking forward to, we got a couple of weeks before the CFC comes back. So check out CFC versus the Pulse on 11 Sports on Sunday. And until we see you again in Findlay, go CFC.
Go Blue.
Cheeky goal.